and spiritual family needs. So that is entitled Our Open Hearts. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He said, by this all men will know you are my disciples, by the love you have. He said that love is, that word love, is defined as agape love. And that agape love is demonstrated in five ways. Can anybody tell us what those five ways that agape love is demonstrated?
The love that volunteers.
It volunteers, yes. What else?
No matter how it will cost me.
No matter how much it costs me.
And that the person deserves or not.
Yeah, well, not the person deserves it or not.
And the last one.
Two more. There's a love that volunteers, no matter how much it costs me, no matter whether the person deserves it or not, and there are two other ways that this agape love is demonstrated. What are those two other ways? It's unconditional, yes, but what does that unconditional love look like? What is it? You know, it's easy to say it's unconditional, but how do we demonstrate? How is agape love shown? So it volunteers, no matter whether the other person deserves it or not, no matter how much it costs me. The other one is, no matter whether the person asks for it or not, and no matter how many times you have to repeat the act. And so it is important that we understand this, because every one of us have this assignment. Every single one of us has this assignment as a Christian, and this is the type of love that God demonstrated towards us. That's Romans 5 and 8. And so we said it's a love that volunteers, no matter if the other person deserves it or not, no matter how many times I have to repeat the act, no matter if the other person acts or not, and no matter how much it costs me, it is a sacrificial type of love. It is also the most demanding type of love. And it is the love, whenever you see that word love in the New Testament, 9 times out of 10, the word is comes from the root word agape. And so it's easy to say it, but love, what is love? Love is an action. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Love is an action. Yeah, you cannot say that you love somebody if you haven't done anything. Yeah. It's like if I say to you, I've got a gift for you, what's the next thing you're thinking? What is it? And where are you going to give it to? It's not a gift unless I've given it to you, isn't it? You see that? And so, from God's perspective, that's what Jesus did for you and me. And that's how God loves you. Did you deserve it? Did you ask for it? Huh? How much did it cost God? It's only begotten Son, that's John 3:16. Yeah? And how many times he had to do that? Just one. But for us, it's easy to love someone who loves you back. Because of course you want to. If somebody loves you, everything's fine, everything's fine. But what about when the person is unlovable? And they don't reciprocate that love. That's us. And so when we mess up, not if, when we mess up, that's when we want God's agape love. Yes? And so, we said last time that we got together that we were talking about four main lines in the Bible. We talked about that agape love, unconditional, sacrificial love, exemplified by Christ, John 15:13, between God and humanity. There is philia, brotherly love and friendship. Someone read Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says what? We know Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. What does Romans 12:10 say?
If
affectionate, brotherly love, that is Philemon. You get the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia, I've been to Philadelphia many times, Philadelphia in the United States, the city of brotherly love. Yeah? Or if you've ever watched the first Rocky movie where he runs up those steps, that was in Philadelphia. And that has been our fellow love between fellow believers and friends. Then there's storge love, that's family affectionate or family affection between family members. Yeah, this is my brother, this is my sister. And then there's Eros love, that is romantic love, Song of Solomon. Husbands and wives, you should read Song of Solomon. It is a very fascinating book, very educational book. And that is between a husband and wife. You get the English word erotic. Erotic comes from this Greek word eros. And so the one thing you will focus on, that's at the top of the pyramid, is agape. Agape. Yeah. Alpha, gamma, alpha. Peaches and Absalom. And so we said last time we got together that open hearts, we're talking about open hearts, love and oneself. It begins with who? Where does love begin? Self. Because we're selfish, aren't we? Aren't we selfish people? We want to be the first in line. We want to get the biggest piece of cake. We want everybody to recognize us. We want God to help us when we're in trouble. Selfish. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love. Love. Agape, love does not envy. When I was in Bible school, went to Sunset. They always told us, you take that word love of and put your name there. 1 Corinthians 13, you take the word love of and put your name there. And does that destroy you? Gary does not envy. Gary is not puffed up. Gary does not seek his own. Now it gets personal. Yeah. A sound heart, we say it, the Bible says, a sound heart is life to the body. But envy, where does envy begin? Where does envy begin?
Yeah.
You see something, you like somebody's got something, you think they're better than you, you get intimidated, and you get envious. You all get envious. Envy is rottenness to the bones. Proverbs 14:30. Philippians chapter 4:11, Paul says, not that I speak in regard to me, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. What does content mean? Content. What does that word mean? What does that mean? Satisfied. Feel. So I go to the buffet. You go to this restaurant and say, all you can eat. Someone outside says, all you can eat. What you put on your plate? What you put on it? Are you gonna fill your plate up? No, you're not. Two steaks, chicken, chips, seafood, dessert, rice. Huh? He said, I have learned to be content. Content means I'm not hungry, and I'm not overfilled myself. That's the part right in between. Content means I don't have too little, and I don't have too much. Now, you think the word "come" means with a container? Yeah, you're just gonna fill it up to the top, but it's not gonna get overflowing. You ever ate too much? How do you feel after that? Oh man. I should eat all that food. I need to go and lay down. Right? He said, I have learned that whatever state I'm in, I might not have everything I want, but I have everything I need. What's the difference between a need and a want? between a need and a want. I need what? What do we all need? We all need food, we all need air, we all need shelter. We need clothing, and we all need a home. Then we all need a home, we talk about a home. All of us need a home. Some words are very lucky. I don't care who you are, I don't care if you, even if you don't know about God, you don't know about the church, all of us have those five basic needs. What's a want?
That's right.
What's that?
Listen to God, that's people that doesn't matter.
You can do it. I need some food, but I want a steak. I want a prime rib steak. Huh? A big one. You ever go to the state of Texas? They say everything is bigger in Texas, and it's true. You go to a restaurant and they bring you a stack of bread like this. They call it Texas toast. Big potato steak, as big as the plate. Huh? Love does not parade itself. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Humble yourself, the Bible says, in the sight of the Lord, and what? He will lift you up. Humble. What does humble mean? Humble. What's another word for humble?
Submission.
Submission. I like that. Mean what? Humble. Humble. Moses was described the word meek. Meek. There was a brother, storyteller about a brother. He was the most humble brother in the church, and they gave him a badge that says, most humble. And they took it away from him next Sunday because he wore it to church. Huh? What you got there? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he, well, if you don't have to promote yourself, you don't have to promote yourself. God will promote you. You know, sometimes God's got to hide you so you can be found. You know what God did to the prophets? Huh? You don't have to go around saying I'm the best. No, let God promote you. Love is not puffed up. That's pride. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love has no high opinion of itself. Saul of Tarsus. Anybody know who Saul of Tarsus is? Who was Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus. Who was that? The Apostle Paul. How did he become a Christian? The Lord did what to him? Struck him down. Where to? On the road to Damascus. Why did God do that to him? Why do you think God did that to him in the book of Acts? The Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus. He was blown. Why do you think God did that? To get his attention. You know, sometimes God has to get our attention. Did you know that? Every once in a while, God, you're going to have a Saul of Tarsus moon if you're a Christian. He's going to strike you down. So, to begin his ministry, God had to strike him down on the road to Damascus. And then in 1 Corinthians, is it 1 or 2 Corinthians? He had that thorn in the flesh. And how many times did he pray?
Three
times. What was his prayer? Lord, take it away. I'm still praying that prayer, Lord, take it away. Take it away, Lord. And did God answer his prayer?
Yes.
He answered it, but not the way he wanted. So, he said, my grace, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my power is made perfect where? In weakness. You know what the Bible says? In weakness. You see? And so, when all of us will have a thorn in the flesh, every last one of us will have a thorn in the flesh. Not as a punishment or to humble us. Because if we didn't have that thorn in the flesh, perhaps we wouldn't need to pray. Does that make sense? And so, he was an apostle. He was God's chosen man. He had a problem. He prayed, and God did not take it out. God didn't take it away. And even was, there are some things that God will not take away from us. Because in order to keep us humble, we're going to have to keep that thorn. We don't know what it was. We don't need to know what it was. And so this love, open hearts. And so that is to remind us that every once in a while, here's one thing I've learned. I've been a Christian for this year, 35 years. And every once in a while, you will meet yourself. You're going to meet somebody that reminds you of you when you were younger. You're going to run into yourself. And you know what your job is? To go find that person and say, I've got something to share with you. You need to watch that. I've got some advice for you. Let me help you out. Because I don't know how that move is going to end. And so, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, we read that. This is the Apostle Paul talking about Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. We read that last time we were together. The first word is what? Verse 5, Philippians 2, 5. What's the first word in verse 5? The first word?
Let.
Where else do we find that word let? First John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Isn't that right? Is it verse 6? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart, let this mind. Did we say the heart and the mind are the same thing? The heart and the mind are the same thing, Romans chapter 12. Be you transformed by the renewing of your So this is the heart. They got, let not your heart, let not your mind be troubled. Let this heart, let this mind, let this attitude. Philippians 4, sorry, Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind, let this attitude. That's what that means. Let this attitude be in you, which was what? Also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, verse number 9, so verse 6, sorry, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. He was right up there with the Father. God and the Father, Jesus and God were equal. That's what that's saying. And he says, but, verse number 7, made himself of what? No reputation. Humble yourself in the sight of, you see how these scriptures connect? He made himself of no reputation. What did he do? He took a look. I'm the CEO of the company, but it's not beneath me to come down from my high horse and serve you a cup of tea. Scrub a floor. Get my hands dirty. Of no reputation. What's no reputation? No status. No status. He didn't, when Jesus was born, he didn't come with an entourage. He didn't come with an entourage. Taking the form of a what? A slave. And coming in the likeness of men. That's you and me. He got hungry, he got thirsty, he got sick, he got tired, he got distorted, just like you and me. Now, and being in the appearance for a slave, as a man, what did he do? He humbled. Who humbled himself? He humbled himself. Don't let God do it for you. Don't let God do it to you. Do it yourself. Save yourself the trouble. Do it for yourself. And became obedient. How far did he take this obedience? How far did he take it? To the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's John 3:30. He must increase. I must. But you know what we want? You know what we want? You graduate from uni, young people, and you want to be the CEO tomorrow. I want to be the manager, the CEO. I want to get paid. I want a parking spot. I want a company phone. I want it all. That's not life. You come into the church, humble yourself. What can I do? How can I serve you? No, you go first. 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 That's not what we don't do that, do we? You get moving for the escalator, you want to be the first one in the elevator, first one to the front. You know what we do? Oh, nobody in here, okay. All right. And so, okay. Why do we fill our hands? We ask that question. Why do we fill our hands and close our hearts at times? You know, we get fed up. You ever get fed up? Sick and tired of being sick and tired? You ever been like that? This place, these people. We all get like that. Why? Because we've reached the end of ourselves. Because we're focusing in, amen? I've been there more than once. They need to fix this place up. And I say, well, if the place doesn't change, I've got to change. Why do we envy, parade ourselves, and have high opinions of ourselves? You know, we overcompensate sometimes. Somebody's got a head, you gotta have a bigger head. Somebody gets a car, you gotta get a bigger car. Somebody gets a house, you gotta get a bigger house. They get the iPhone 14, you gotta get the iPhone 16 plus plus. That's us. What I have learned in whatever state I am to be. I've got my spoon here. I don't know what version it is at this point, folks. Where is it? This case, I drop it to be content. It rings just like the iPhone 16. I can hang up the same way. I'm gonna be ready. How much you paying for yours? I'm not. I pay 10 pounds a month. Send them. So why do we do that? Why do we do that? We do that to God. Lord, you did this last week. Do it again, Lord. Be content. And so, we need to be like you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, what kind of... Yes.
I think if you're going to put something... of your own joy, that would be extra money to get it. When I don't have the ability to get it, I should be able to have. So if I have the will to get something, they all depend on choice.
Yeah.
Some grow up from childhood, they don't have the maturities are not entitling them.
Yes.
What entitles you, not what entitles you.
Okay.
What you love, not what I loved. I'm a very simple in simple dress. Some people may not be comfortable in that simple dress.
Yeah.
So I think it's not a comfortability, it's not just a particular area. It is what kind of it is individual.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And even in the outside the church environment, in the world sexual area,
yeah.
There are some people they based on what they do. They go extra mile because if for those like when we're saying in a country, you want to get the contracts. You don't go to a place where you contract with your foot.
Okay.
How dare they watch you and see who is that person? Can we trust him? Can we give him the amount of money? What kind of car do they brought in? These are things that relate to people when they come to area of the choice.
Yeah.
Not everybody that pick things that may be of high cost think because they want to oppress or they want to show that they are surrounding around others to be in that situation. So if not to draw it back to the level that we can understand ourselves, we should not go extra mile to run after things that we are, at the moment we have, we cannot achieve it. But when you can achieve it, nobody, like say, if you have money and buy a helicopter, I don't care. Because you are afforded to get it.
Yes, yes.
Even now, because I don't have, I don't want to not become like you, I have to be on the plan, oh, I have to get that thing. And that way, you have to put a question mark.
Very good point. Because if you can afford to do that, that's not a problem. But the question is, what's the motive? What's the motive? Because we're talking about the heart, the mind. And so, you may not be doing any of that to impress anybody, but we also have a responsibility to be mindful of the people around us. Because in your actions may cause a stumbling block for your brother and sister. Does that make sense? I have, in our meeting yesterday, the point was made, if you can't do for one, for everybody, you go do, if you can't do for everybody, you can't do it at all. And that's the wisdom, you see. So the Apostle Paul wrote, like he said, all things are lawful, but what? Not all things are expedient. You see? So even if Solomon, a wealthy man, God, I believe that God wants Christians to be wealthy. Well, with that wealth, greater wealth comes with greater responsibility. The Bible says, as much as given, much more will be required. So with that responsibility, so you in your job, you come in as a nurse, and then you can become a senior nurse, a ward chief, and so forth. With all of that promotion comes greater responsibility and also greater accountability. And so on judgment, God is not going to judge you based on, He's not going to judge me based on what He did to you. And you're absolutely right. And so you can do much more. The one with more can do much more, if that makes sense, in order to bless the kingdom, bless those around Himself. And so that is a great point, Brother Lucky. And we, looking on at your brother and sister in Christ, we ought not envy you. We ought not, I don't know how you got all of that. And I ought to be just content. If this is the level that God wants to keep me at, I will just say, and that's my prayer, Lord, if this is for me, the sermon we had in Liverpool, what God has for me is for me. You know, people are praying for different things and you're thinking about, Lord, why aren't you blessing me? That may not be for you. You see, and that was because what does God want for all of us? Salvation. Salvation. That's the most important thing. What profit a man? Jesus said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You see? And so in all of that, God always puts the balance. For us in our Christian lives. Good comments. Good comments. And so, what kind of love is demanded by the spiritual family? And we know the answer is agape love. Agape love. And what actions do we need to take today to ensure our hearts remain open? What do we need to do today to ensure that our hearts remain open? Because we're real people. You know, you go to the job tomorrow, and they say, oh, we have an announcement that they've decided to promote Sally. And Sally just got here last week. And you've been here 10 years. What you think? What? How dare they? That may not be for you. You see? So, to keep your heart open, you say, you know what, listen, God bless them. You know, if whatever door God has to open for me, it may not be this one, or whatever it is. open hearts towards self, love that shows, that is shown to others as well. Our love is not rude. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Says love does not behave rudely. We read that scripture. Be kindly affectionate to one another. That's brother to brother. With brotherly love. That agape type of love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be what? Kind to one another. Love is a decision. Love is a decision.
Yeah.
Love does not seek its own. It goes on to say in that same verse, chapter 13, verse 5, love does not seek its own. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. In honor, the second part of that verse, in honor giving preference. What is preference? Preference to, what does preference to mean? Yes. It's in terms of rank. Think of a dinner table. Think of a dinner table. The table is set. Maybe six people can sit at that table. And every seat is full. And you need to sit at that same table. What do I need to do? I need to make elbow room so that you can also sit at the table. You see that? Because even though you got there first, your brother and sister still has the right to sit at that same table. So your job is to make elbow room for that individual. You see that? And so how do we, so what do we say? Love is, what is love? Love is an action. Love is a decision. We love not because, and love is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling because I might not feel like I love you today, but I still have to perform the action. So sometimes our heart has to catch up with the action. Does that make sense? You might not love the person's behavior, but you still have to love the person. Now that's tough. That's tough, huh? Now, let me give an example because you look like you're interested. All those folk on your job you don't like. But you still go back down to that job. Why? Why do you go to work? Why do you go to work? For that money. For that money. For that money. Huh? You don't get all those folk on your job. You don't like, they don't like you, and you don't like them, but you keep going back. You don't say, you know, I'm sick of this place, I'm all right. You go on back down to that job. Well, you can leave. So you put up with the stuff at your job, but let folk rob you the wrong way in church. And you say,
when I love said something, and you gave an example by saying that maybe a job, if two people are in a job, the one who came late can have a position than the one who was there before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It may be, maybe the one who was old there doesn't work well.
Oh.
Yeah. It doesn't work well, he's lazy. So when the other one comes, if he or she is a hard worker,
yes.
By all means, he can have post done.
Yeah.
The same thing as a parent here. Yeah. They are learning of love and envy and so on and so forth. God said, you should be a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
Like correct man is used question, how do you preach? Example, let's say, I put in £2, and you put in £10. Who will be blessed me?
Neither one.
I put charging £2 and you put it £10. Oh, bless me.
No, it all depends on the capacity of what you have.
It depends what you have.
You like £2 will be less than you like £10.
Yes, yes.
It depends on what you have. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Maybe the two of them, they are doing the same job.
Yes.
But the one is lazy.
Yes.
The same strength. But because the one is wiser than the other, he's lazy. So he doesn't. We all see the same thing at our workplaces, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I have. We are all paid the same thing.
Yeah.
And let's say, love money.
Yes.
The same thing.
Yes.
But because God said, He loves a cheerful giver. We should put on what we have. I have £20.
You have £20.
Yeah, I have £20 and you have £20.
Yeah.
But when we reach there, I put in £5 and you put in £10, we'll be blessed.
It's more. Let each man give as he purposes in his own.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that's God's business.
That's God's business.
Because
it's a motive.
It's the motive, and it's not what you give, it's how you give. That makes sense? Because
But did you know that God bless people? We know that God bless people.
Yeah.
So if He bless you more than me, should I be envy? Should I be jealous?
No, you shouldn't. And it's true. And so that's the point. As a Christian, we will be held at a higher standard than that co-worker who's not a Christian. You see, because you know more than they do. And so, who's the assignment to? Who is Paul? Who is the Bible written? It's written to believers. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And so, the Bible says in Romans, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with who? With all men. That's not talking to the world, that's talking to us. And so, if you got a problem, then you take that up with God. You take that up with God. You see? And so, in honor, giving preference to one another. Yeah? These things were written because God knew that we all struggle in these areas and to regulate our behavior. Because left to all, and we're like sheep, aren't they? And they're right, we're like sheep. Sheep need a shepherd. Because sheep are dumb animals. Yeah? That's how God is dumb. And so they need someone to care for them, to give them instruction, to move them along, to protect them from the wolves on the outside and from one another. Yeah? And so each of us have an opportunity to practice this agape love. Every situation that we go through is an opportunity to learn, right? So here's the question I have to ask myself. Here's the question you ask yourself. Whenever you're going through something, what does God want me to learn from this? And if you don't get the lesson right away, you're going to have to keep repeating that example. You say, why am I keep going through this? Well, you didn't got the lesson yet. You cannot get promoted. You cannot graduate until you pass the exam. Huh? Examination. And so, we have, so again, that's back to the Philippians. Let this mind, let this attitude, now that word let, and I'll end on this. Philippians 2 verse 5, John 14, 6, let this mind. That word let is what we call a permissive imperative. You must allow this thing to happen to you. You've got to volunteer. Make room. Change your attitude. Let not your heart control. We let a lot of things happen to us. But this is a positive let. I can't believe I let no. Let not your heart control. So when that happens, don't worry. Then isn't that what the Bible says in Matthew 6, 33? Matthew 6, do not worry. about this, your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. That job that you have is not forever. Not forever. The mortgage, the car, the whatever you're going through right now, it's not gonna last forever. Did you know that? Whatever trouble you have,
that's right.
This too shall pass.
That's not everything.
Yeah, I like that. That's what Solomon said. To everything there is a season. You're going through a season. And that season will come to an end, and maybe another one will come. Who knew? Well, what did you learn in that? Any other questions or comments? All right. Brother Lucky, would you close this up in the world?